This is All Things ANSYS, a podcast from the technical support staff at PADT. Episode 3, Fun Fluid Editions in ANSYS 18.2, and we talk about how much we like the new ANSYS Discovery Live product. All right, so welcome everybody to our fourth episode of All Things ANSYS, our podcast about everything ANSYS. We're really excited to be here today. We're going to talk about two things that are fantastic. One is we're going to talk about what's new in 18.2, what we really like about what's new in 18.2 for the CFD user. We covered some structural stuff last episode. And then what we really want to get to is hopefully you had a chance to see the new ANSYS Discovery Live product this morning as we did. We've been looking at it for a couple months now. We're glad we can now talk about it, and that's what we're going to do today. So my name is Eric Miller. I'm one of the owners here at PADT, and I'm going to just pass it to the left and go around the room and introduce yourselves.
Thanks, Eric. This is Ted Harris. I manage our simulation support group here at PADT. Been an ANSYS user for about 30 years and have used ANSYS for all sorts of things, helping our customers from little tiny accelerometers up to gigantic windmills and lots of stuff in between.
Okay, my name is Tom Chadwick. I'm one of the senior CFD support engineers here at PADT. And as with Ted, I've been using CFD for about the last 30 years, everything from hypersonic aircraft to lithium ion batteries to everything in between.
And I'm Jim Peters. I'm a senior staff technologist here at PADT, and complete the circle of old guys here of being in the industry for over 32 years. And I focus on simulation, outsourced simulation services. So I use all of the ANSYS products pretty much on a daily basis to support the tech support and training as well, but primarily a user of the entire suite of ANSYS toolset.
And so, and a lot of LS Dyna recent years. So hopefully one of these days we'll have Jim come back and talk about ANSYS LS Dyna. That would be a great topic. Like I said, my name is Eric Miller. A little bit about PADT before we get going. For those that don't know, the podcast is actually going quite well. We can't quite track because we're too cheap to pay for the professional versions that track the number of downloads. But from what we can tell, we've got quite a few listeners out there. It's growing every episode. Don't know if we're up to 1,000 yet, but we're getting close to that. And so some of you may not know much about us. We're an engineering services and products company. We basically resell simulation tools and 3D printing hardware and related tools out there. And then we provide services around those technologies. So we do full product development. Engineering services area also includes doing consulting with the ANSYS products. We also have a complete 3D printing service capability. So, you know, check out our website, padtinc.com, to learn more about us. Let's go ahead and get into it. The topic today, the first one, is going to be ANSYS 18.2. That came out when? When was it released?
A couple weeks ago.
So it's available to everybody. If you have not taken a look at it, how would they go about getting 18.2?
Well, you log into the ANSYS customer portal, and then you go to the downloads area at the top, and the current version available for download will be 18.2.
Just install it. I even installed it on my machine. The install process is a lot better than it used to be. It's pretty painless these days. So don't hesitate. One of the reasons why we're talking about it is usually in the past, a point release wasn't really worth a discussion. It was usually bug fixes and one or two features that didn't make it. But they're kind of changing the way they're doing the development process, and kind of major capabilities will come out in point releases, which is kind of nice. We don't have to wait to the beginning of the year for a major release to get a new feature that's important. And 18.2 is chock full of stuff, in the CFD world especially. So Tom, what's your favorite new thing in 18.2?
The coolest thing I've seen, they've actually in Fluent now, they have the polyhedral mesher is now an adaptive mesher so that you can run a transient analysis and the mesh will update as your fluid moves around. They have a really cool example on the website of water sloshing around in a tank. Sweet. And splashing around, and so you can actually see the droplets separating from the surface of the water, and as the droplets separate, the mesh refines around each droplet as it separates away from the water.
And that's pretty impressive.
And then the mesh coarsens back up again as the droplets get reintegrated into the main body of the fluid.
Now this is native polyhedral, right? This isn't a TET mesh that they're turning into polyhedral
right
before the
solve. They've updated the fluid mesher now so that now it has the option for a native polyhedral mesher.
We won't mention names, but there was a competitive tool that always liked to point out the fact that they were native polyhedral and we were not. And development listened, and you can of course still use your TET and hex dominant meshes, but polyhedral's there. And now it sounds like the automatic remeshing, that's very powerful.
Right. Yeah, it's
very cool.
It's very powerful now. It used to be you could only adapt if it was a tetrahedral mesh, but now you can adapt a polyhedral mesh as well.
Very, very cool. Okay, what else?
They've also done some significant improvements to the harmonic analysis in CFX.
Okay.
Now you can analyze, if you're doing turbine flow, instead of having to analyze a full 360 model of a turbine, you can analyze a single blade in the frequency domain.
Okay.
And it gives you accurate results for the entire wheel.
Full 360.
Full 360. So it's a significant improvement in speed up. Now, you know, if you've got 40 blades in your in your rotor, you're doing it 40 times faster because it's only analyzing a single blade.
So we've been using that for a while with one of our customers. Is it just finally released, or is this a new capability in that area?
It's a capability that has gone into production. It has been in the beta phase for a while.
For a while, yeah.
And they've been working on developing it, but they've finally got it to the point where it's stable enough that they felt it was time to release it out.
So your Honeywells and your GEs and Pete Pratt and Whitney's have been leading this development for quite a while, but
right.
Now if you're just a pump guy and you may have an 8-vane impeller or something and you want to just get down to just modeling one vein, you can do that now.
Right. And the other advantage to it is that now you can also use it for flutter analysis. So they've got it linked in with mode shape.
Okay. So aeroelasticity going back to forced vibration caused by a non-uniform fluid flowing into it and causing this flutter.
Right.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So it's fairly robust now.
Yeah.
Good. That was fun to be part of the development of that. I know that Tom helped quite a bit debugging it through the years here. And
yeah,
so it's nice to see that it's finally released.
Good. Yeah, they finally got it to a very good state.
And that highlights the fact that enhancements to turbo machinery, rotating machinery, are still going into CFX.
Correct.
Whereas
yeah.
Fluent is for pretty much everything else.
Fluent is their general purpose code, but for turbo machinery, they have stated that CFX is still going to be the flagship tool for turbo machinery.
It certainly is working well for us, so it's good to see that. So anything else that you really liked?
One thing I saw, they demonstrated at the Fluid Summit that they had with all of the channel partners and ANSYS support engineers at the beginning of the year. One of the main developers at Fluent demonstrated the adjuvant solver.
Oh, okay.
Which allows you to optimize geometry based upon fluid properties, pressures, things like that for rotating machinery as well now.
Oh, okay.
So he demonstrated a simple model of a rotating compressor blade where he started out with a default shape and had it adjust the geometry to optimize the pressure differential across the blade.
Wow. So we've had this for a while for, say, a fixed wing at the front of a car.
Right. The adjuvant solver has worked for a while for static hardware, but this is the first time they've been able to run it for rotating hardware.
Which is a lot of what people do with CFD, so that's very important. So that's very cool. Okay.
Yes.
And all right. And so if you're not familiar, the adjoint solver actually moves the surfaces and the mesh and smooths the mesh as it's moving it. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a point-by-point optimization. Right. So you don't have to take it to an external tool to drive the optimization.
Correct.
Very cool. Jim or Ted, have anything you guys have experienced?
Well, one thing I noticed in CFD Post, which is the post processor built into the Ansys tools for the last, well, quite a few years, in version 18.2, support was added for the FENSAP ICE file formats. And if people aren't familiar with FENSAP ICE, those are tools that were acquired by Ansys a couple of years ago to simulate accretion, basically, of ice on a wing or in an engine or, you know, anything that's really in a cold, damp environment. Certainly for things that fly, ice accumulation is a big problem. So we want to have a good handle on simulating those phenomena. And so it's great to see that the post-processing capabilities in the general Ansys CFD post now include that FENSAP ICE file format.
Yeah, it's been really nice to see that Ansys has extended a lot of effort into integrating FENSAP, all of the FENSAP tools, okay, into the core Workbench functionality.
So that works not just for rotating machinery, which is what I'm more familiar with, but ice buildup on wings,
yep,
or on
wings,
windshields.
One of the big applications actually is pitot tubes.
Oh,
it's a common problem for aircraft if the pressure sensors get fouled by ice.
That
can cause problems.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Okay, so I think it's a useful for those doing any kind of accretion project, especially ice. But it also shows that Ansys has kind of got their act together. I don't think people realize it, you know, because it just kind of happens, but we see it kind of behind the scenes. When you acquire a company, a lot of companies aren't very good at it. and the acquired company tends to languish, and some technology will get poached, but otherwise. But, I mean, this is a great example of it's really a niche tool. I mean, it's not a general purpose tool. It's a niche tool. And instead of just saying, oh, it's a niche tool, the people that use it, they're integrating into the mainstream. So making it easier for everybody. So that's really, we like that as users and supporters of the software. It makes our life easier. Jim, you got anything to share?
Well, I noticed, and I haven't had a chance to use it yet, but I noticed that Fluent has some updates to the solver numerics. There's some other solver options, and maybe Tom, you could fill in on some of that.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff as far as improvements to the stability and speed of the solvers. Mm-hmm. Both CFX and Fluent, every release, there's a noticeable speed up in how fast the solvers can solve and how stable they are.
That's really good. So we're staying relatively parallel to even more cores now as every release. So,
yeah, I think the record now is several thousand cores that they've.
If not tens of thousands. We reported it a couple of weeks ago.
It's an astronomical number. It's
mind-boggling for some, like, the entire oil reservoir in Saudi Arabia was modeled or something like that. It was crazy. We talked about it, I think, two podcasts ago with Ahmed, who actually worked on the cluster they ran it on when he was at that university. That's really cool and encouraging that they continue to do that, especially as these new chips get better and faster.
Right.
Anything else before we finish up on this one?
The only other one I was going to mention, and I'd actually done a focus article on it a month or two ago, was the overset meshing capability.
Yes.
And they're making significant improvements to that.
Okay.
And that allows you to do meshing around various odd shaped bodies, mm-hmm, but still have a nice regular hex mesh around an object and integrate that in with the surrounding fluid body.
So you kind of have two meshes, one that's nice and uniform, and then one that's around your crazy-looking shape, and it kind of handles the interpolation.
Right, and the tool actually handles the interface between the two domains. Nice. But it allows you to have that body, for instance, say, moving through the fluid rotating.
Okay.
So it's really good for things like impellers, geometry like that. I've seen it used for missile bodies, so you can apply a nice regular mesh around a missile body and have that traveling through your main fluid domain.
Well, think of a a more peaceful application for that. I'm sure there's a medical device somewhere, maybe a stent or something.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, heart valve.
Any kind of a pumping mechanism.
Yeah.
It's ideal for.
Okay. Anything you got moving solid pieces, yeah. And the remeshing is just a pain in the butt.
Right.
So you have this overset mesh. So this was introduced at, was it, am I correct, at 18 or was it 17?
I think it was at 18.
So they a lot of good improvements at 2.
A lot of improvements.
Okay,
18-2.
Yeah. Good. I think it's another good example of, we run across users, our customers every once in a while, that'll have like 2 seats of some code because it's got this special capability. We had some users that you were using another piece of software because when they needed the offset mesh. Or right. Offset mesh. Now they don't have to have that separate piece of code. It's all one place, which is great.
Yep.
You guys have anything else to add to 18.2? Okay. We'll see if we can get to, if Michael's not traveling or doing demos, we'll talk about HFSS, or we'll come back and talk about some other new stuff in 18.2 in 2 weeks. So I love that. Love the topic. Really excited about everything that's in there this time. So what we're going to do right now is take a little bit of a break and listen to one of our commercials produced by our fun staff. I hope you enjoy what commercials look like when engineers make them. They're not very professional, but we'll see you on the other side.
Hey, Linda. I've been trying to run these simulations all day, but the stupid computer isn't fast enough.
I know, Dave. I wish IT would give us better computers.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. A friend of mine was saying that he got a simulation computer from someplace called the PADT.
What's so special about it?
Well, I guess they have this program called the Cube Computing Solutions where they custom build simulation computers just to fit your needs with whatever you want, whatever graphics cards you need, the amount of cores you need, whatever works best for you.
Huh. How do I get one of these?
Well, if I remember him correctly, he said you go to www.padtinc.com/cube. I think that's right.
Huh. Maybe we should tell the IT guy about this.
Yeah, maybe we should.
So welcome back from our commercial break there. Before we get into what we really want to talk about today, which is the new product, talk about some upcoming events. There's really not a lot. The big one was this morning. But if you missed it, you can go to www.ansys.com/discovery and you can get access to a recording of the webinar, as well as what I recommend is just go down and look at the videos of how the product works.
And it's a short webinar. It's only about half an hour.
Yeah.
So you don't have to invest a humongous amount of time to see it.
Yeah, it's good. And we'll talk a little bit more about what was cool about it. I'm going to be speaking in Los Angeles at West Tech on the 14th. If you guys are attending, I'm doing a seminar called The Bitter Pill, the Reality of a Medical Device Startups. So it's kind of a tough love talk about what we've learned doing medical device development for people, especially startups. The next ANSYS-related webinar is we're doing an in-depth look at how you can do accurate CFD with the ANSYS product. So it's really like if you're using a kind of a lower-end tool and you're not getting accurate CFD, we're kind of comparing and contrasting those. That's on the 20th, and that'll be a webinar that you can view live or watch recorded afterwards, but do register so you know when the recording is available. We also will be here in Phoenix at the Arizona Technology Council Smart City event. This is actually an Internet of Things event. It's kind of built around a lot of smart city technology, but it's a general IoT event. We'll be on a panel talking about simulation for developing IoT devices, which you know that they're very very multi-physics, so ANSYS is perfect for them, and we'll have a booth there. So if you're going to be here in Phoenix and attending that, do show up. And then the big event that's coming up is we're co-hosting with ANSYS Inc. the Arizona ANSYS Innovation Conference. That's what we're calling the user conferences this year. It's going to be on the 4th of October. That's a Wednesday. And please do register so we know how much food to get. We did it last year. It was a lot of fun. It was very technical. It was not a lot of sales. It was almost no sales talk. It was demos of products from support engineers, as well as customer speaking, which is my favorite part, was customer sharing.
Yeah,
there.
It's always great to see what our customers are using ANSYS tools to do. And I'll just add, it's in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
It's at the ASU SkySong facility, same place it was last year. Great location.
So yeah, it worked out. It was a great event just to see everybody, and it's if you just want to go come out and meet other ANSYS users, do come. And you don't have to be from Arizona to do it. If you're any of our customers and you want to just come and hang out, please do. Any of these events are always listed. If you go to the PADT website and go to the lower left-hand corner, you'll see an events list. Just click on those, and it'll take you to the information or registration page for any of these we talked about, as well as if you are perusing our blog, it'll be over on the right side of the blog. There's a list of events. So either place, that's where you get to the information. So let's get into it. I want to talk about a new thing. It's called ANSYS Discovery Live. And I saw it about, 8 months ago. The senior developer for the project was in town for a conference, and he said, "Eric, I'm coming to your office. I want to show you something, but you have to sign a special NDA." And so it was literally, "I'm going to kill you afterwards, but tell me what you think." And he showed it to me, and I actually thought it was a demo. I thought it was a video. What it is, because it's so fast, what it is a new way to explore the physical behavior of products. So it is simulation. We're still discretizing geometry and putting it through solvers. But it uses GPUs and highly parallel solvers so that you get real-time feedback on your CAD model. So it's to the user, it's meshless. To the user, it is almost instantaneous. And it allows you to get really good feedback. So I've been thinking about this a lot. So at first I thought, well, this isn't real simulation. Mm-hmm. And then I played with it. I learned it. I understood. A lot of times when we're doing product development work, I'll go out in the lab and I'll actually bend stuff, push stuff, play with stuff. Is this wall thick enough? Is this hole big enough? Things like that I'll do on a physical part because the simulation takes too long to do it. With this new product, I can do it in real time. I can do that poking and prodding. I can do that virtual testing in real time right there on my computer. And it is mind-numbing. And before I let everybody else talk, the other thing I want to point out is during the webinar, a guy I've known for 20 years from Cummings, Bob Tickle, he and I had been on the ANSYS, we're on the ANSYS advisory committee back in the day, and we were not necessarily always nice to developers. We were pretty hard-nosed. We wanted things to work right. Bob's pickier than I am, and he loves this tool. And he's going to change the way they do product development because his design engineers can now look at how their parts behave in real time. So I'm really excited about it. It's not going to replace ANSYS. It's not mechanical or Fluent or any of those things. It's going to be used up front and change the way I'm actually, by training I'm a design engineer, the way we do design is going to change more than the way we do simulation. So what do you guys think? Jim, what's your opinion?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I typically have the reputation of kind of having an Eeyore type of mindset on things. I've been around the block enough that I'm not impressed.
You've seen
revolutionary products come and go. But I have to honestly say that I was kind of blown away by this when I first saw it. And literally today we downloaded it and I played with it for an hour and a half and it's everything it's built up to be. It is an impressive tool. I worked through some of the demos and even did one of my own parts that I did a quick on a customer product. I did a quick drag calculation on an object that was in flying through the air, and
he could tell us what it is, but then we'd have to kill everybody.
Yeah, so I'll just talk real generic about it. But it was one that probably realistically 3 or 4 hours turnaround time for me to set up that mesh and run it and so forth. And I ran that in CFX, and that was the quick and dirty version of a flow study, mm-hmm. and that's typically about the lower end. Time threshold it takes to do quick studies like that. I literally within 2.5 minutes had effectively the same result up on screen with Discovery. So, being as detailed oriented as I am, the next question is, well, how accurate is it? How close is it to the real result? And I had a couple. Velocity calibration as well as the drag number, and it did really well. And I honestly think it will be a game changer for the way design's done.
That's a great example. You're designing this thing, it flies through the air, and you want it to have as little drag as possible, and the design engineer can go, not a full CFD person or anything, go and tweak the geometry and see, if I add this feature, is it going to hurt or is it going to help? And that's the kind of stuff that's just powerful.
Yeah, you know, it really just adds another fantastic tool into the toolbox because, you know, in the past, how were things designed? Well, you know, by design guidelines or engineering intuition, or, you know, if the designer was fortunate to know a simulation tool, they could go off and you know, perform a simulation, but, you know, that's time consuming. Whereas now, you have virtually instant feedback on, you know, just what happens if I thicken this up, or I increase this radius, or decrease this radius, or add a hole here. You get instantaneous feedback on what that change does. Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, just opens up a whole new category of design tool that's available for people that are designing a product.
Yeah, a good example for me is a while back, I don't do as much real work as I used to, I designed a pump housing, and one of the covers for the cooling cavity was basically a drum head, I realized too late, and the passing frequency of the rotor inside would excite it. And so I remember going into mechanical, you know, I thought, how, this is so easy. I went into mechanical, I set up a parametric model, and in about 2 hours, I had tweaked it until I avoided all my forcing function frequencies. Well, with this tool, I popped it in, parameterized, or I didn't even parameterize, I just dragged it.
Yeah.
And I knew it from my report what my forcing frequency was, and yeah, it was right there, the original geometry was right there, smack dab on. I pulled it up, and I just kept on pulling it until it told me the frequency had moved out of that concern zone. So in a couple minutes, I was able to do that, so powerful.
Well, I think one of the really cool things about this product is it's coupled with the Space Claim geometry engine.
Yep.
I mean, the numerics would be impressive by itself anyway, but coupled with the Space Claim geometry engine, the ability to morph geometry instantaneously, and that is just amazing.
Add features by clicking, and
yeah,
if you haven't played with Space Claim, so let's back up a little bit and let me explain how the product is packaged. So these new solvers, these highly parallel solvers that take advantage of GPUs, are basically embedded as a module within the Space Claim interface. So instead of having yet another user interface or something like that, they went ahead and put in Space Claim because it's so tied to geometry, it just makes a lot of sense. And that's what allows us to do these things in real time. So you can click on a hole and change the diameter of the hole by changing the number or dragging it, and the stresses change right there. It does, correct me if I'm wrong, stress, thermal, modal, and full transient fluid flow right now.
That's
that
right.
Correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And it can be as simple as you want. It's very, the basic user interface is very straightforward, and you can get fairly sophisticated with it. The turbulence models on the CFD side is...
That's one of the impressing things about the air tunnel or the little module is that the resolution that it's capturing, the vortices and so forth, was actually even finer than what I had done in my simple model, and that it's a full blown transient unsteady analysis that's being solved.
And so the impressive thing is the post processing capability.
Yeah,
because seen vehicle development companies that actually have a laboratory that people can go into, where they have a full up CFD solution that somebody's run previously, and they can actually go in and put smoke.
Okay.
Inside this old CFD model, but it's a one-time CFD model.
Yeah, if you change the geometry, you're screwed.
Yeah. In this tool, you can go in, run the wind tunnel like Jim was saying, put a probe in and watch the streamlines as they go around your object, and then move the object around, move the probe around, and watch how the streamlines change.
And if you want to know what happens if you multiply the inlet velocity by a factor of 10, you just change that boundary condition, and boom, you're seeing the effect. It's almost like you turn the valve and you're watching the real device perform.
Right.
Yeah.
Nathan, who couldn't make it today for the podcast, but he really wanted to, when he saw the internal demo a couple of weeks ago, he came to my office and he started screaming black magic into my door. And I was like, what the heck is wrong with you? He said, I just saw the Discovery demo. It's black. You can't. It's black magic. And I'm like, no, it's GPUs. it's pretty impressive.
But we should probably talk about what GPUs are required to make this thing work.
So it's based on an NVIDIA technology. So you need to have an NVIDIA graphics card. And let me back up a little bit more. So you need to go to www.ansys.com/discovery. Everything you need to know is actually there. They did a really good job of answering a lot of questions up front. So you'll register because they want to let us know that you're downloading it so we can try and sell it to you. And once you're registered, you'll have access to a forum. And in the forum, you can see the demos and all that stuff. You can also download the software. What I really liked is you can run it on the web. So they've got a cloud-based version for demos only that you can log into and play with. It worked fairly well. Played with that. And then the big question is a graphics card, right? So GPUs are graphics cards with a lot of small processes in them. And doing transformations for 3D graphics is basically doing linear algebra just like we do with our FEA and CFD solvers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're taking advantage of this highly parallel architecture to break the problem up into small bite-sized chunks that they can throw at these thousands of CPUs that are built into the GPUs. And so you gotta have the right one. It's gotta speak the right CUDA language. CUDA is the language, which is the solvers are written with. And it's basically, I believe Maxwell and above, is that the correct?
Sounds right.
Yeah, Maxwell and above geometry. So I had a couple emails from customers right after the seminar, and I figured out how do you figure this out? I'm gonna put this on a blog post, but basically go into your computer, figure out what model graphics card you have, and then just Google that and find the spec sheet for your graphics card and make sure the architecture is Maxwell, Tesla, and I should have written these things down. We'll put it in the notes, but make sure you have those in there, and if you have those things, you'll be able to run it. The more CPUs you have on their card, and the more RAM you have in your card, the faster it's going to be. My laptop's got a very cheap laptop graphics card. It works. I would not use the term real time say that it works. But oh my gosh, darn it. I added another hole and it took 5 seconds to calculate the new stresses. Oh no, it's so long. So it's not a half a second, it's 5 seconds. But it's still on a really cheap laptop. It worked just fine. So don't panic about the graphics card. If you have any questions, contact your ANSYS service provider. Like I said, I downloaded it, had it installed on my laptop in about 20 minutes, and there is the online version as well that you can play with. This is beta. I haven't actually run into any bugs, but I'm sure they're there. So do report those. And then also check out that forum, because there already is a lot of feedback back and forth. There's also some examples of some things people have done, which is pretty cool with the tool already. So we're really excited about it. So anything else anybody wants to add about it?
I think what is it? It's going to become a release product sometime next
Thank
year.
You. Yeah. So what? How's it going to be productized? What's the cost? There's obviously no salespeople around this table because the first thing they talked about. The good news and the bad news is we don't know. It will be. I've had a lot of discussions with senior management, very, very senior management at ANSYS about this. All the way to the top, they're committed to this being an affordable tool. There's a lot of value here, so they could maybe charge a lot of money, but they're not going to do that. They want it to be democratization. So this is going to be something that...
And that was mentioned by Mark Kinsbow in this morning's presentation.
Yeah. Mark has been advocating for that for day one, and the senior management team is backing him on it. So this is going to be a very affordable product.
And the great thing is to try it out, it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything.
You just download it, install it, and it runs.
If you don't have the right graphics card, use the online version. It's a little slower, not because the solver's slower, but because of the... I got on there like an hour after the webinar, so it was really slow. It's probably better now.
I do have a couple of notes on the required graphics card. The NVIDIA Kepler, Maxwell, or Pascal architecture. and at least 4 gigabytes of video RAM with 8 gigabytes preferred on the GPU.
Mine's 4. I definitely see it. Yeah. I definitely see it at 4. So that's great. So those are the three. I think any card that has been bought in the last 2 or 3 years probably has that, but it does have to be NVIDIA. Yeah. My desktop is AMD.
But he did say that that if you don't have a graphics card that's capable of it, he said these cards are in the $500 range.
So Ted doesn't know this yet, but we were speccing out a new card for a machine for Ted.
I do know this.
Michael did talk to you, or David did talk to you.
Yep.
The card we were looking at, which is really nice, was sub $800.
Right.
So this is not the $1,500. When these GPUs first came out, and you were spending $2,000-$3,000 on these cards. Now, that would be really awesome to run this on, but you don't have to have it. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, the card that I have on my machine right now is the NVIDIA Quattro K5000. That's a decent card, and so really good response, almost instantaneous on the fluid side. Mm-hmm. Structure side, like you say, there's a couple second delay in the update, but.
And we got to expect, we're not running gigantic assemblies with this tool. It's mostly single parts, big things that you're looking at early in the design phase.
And we'll, as we learn more about the tool, we'll share it with you folks, especially what's going on under the hood. Those of you who are analysts, most people listening to this are analysts, not design engineers, so you probably want to know what kind of solver and how they get this kind of response. So we'll share that as we can, because we want to know as well. We know a little bit, but we want to make sure we're right and that it's okay to share it before we share it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else everybody needs to know. I think the big thing is get your hands on it. That was what Bob Tickle said from Cummings. Don't believe me. He's like all of us around this table. It's 30-some years worth of simulation. He thinks everybody needs to get out and take a look at this. I agree with him.
Yeah, I absolutely agree as well. Literally, you can be up and running in minutes. It's a very straightforward interface, very easy to set up. Like I say, I pulled in a full-blown assembly for my little wind tunnel demo off of one of mine, popped right in, and it was running.
And if you've already used SpaceClaim, you already know the geometry tool. And if you don't, SpaceClaim is awesome. It's very intuitive, very easy to use.
Even if you just import your geometry and you just want to change one or two parameters, that's intuitive. You just click on a surface and pull on it. It's that easy to use. So don't worry about that. If you can get when the development team showed it to me very, very early on, they were like, "Now, Eric, we know you're an old time Ansys APDL user and you love APDL. So keep an open mind. We don't want you to hate this because this is different." And I don't. They had me in like 5 minutes. I'm hooked. So definitely take a look, especially on the CFD side. I think we all agree that the structural is very cool and very useful, but the CFD side, because CFD is so much more difficult, it's real, real game changer on the CFD side.
Absolutely.
So if you're using one of those CAD embedded CFD tools, even if they're given away for free, you need to take a look at Discovery. It'll be out. It'll be available for sale in Q1. Of course, you'll hear about it. The marketing campaign is going to be massive, so everybody will know about it when it comes out. But do download it. Do give feedback. And let us know what you think. We'd love to share maybe in 2 weeks when we record our next podcast what everybody else thinks about it. And we'll keep you up to date as we learn more as well. So anything else about Discovery before we go into news? All right. Yeah. Well, the good thing about it, because we were so excited about Discovery that live that we went over on that time-wise, and there's no news because everybody at Ansys was busy getting ready to release Discovery Live.
It was big news.
So that was the huge thing. Stock price, saw a little bit of an uptick. I don't know that Wall Street realizes how this is going to open up the market for Ansys. Maybe they will shortly. There's a whole class of those of you listening to this podcast know. The design engineers, the design departments have been looking for a good, easy CAD tool, or a CAD-based, or geometry-based, I shouldn't say that, geometry-based simulation tool to do early stage upfront analysis. Since I graduated from college 30 years ago, this is not a new need. This is the first time I haven't gone harumph when I've seen it. So I do expect it to move the needle in the stock price once they start selling it. And that's it. That's the only news we had for 2 weeks. We got nothing here. So go out and try it. This was a really good, two great topics talking about CFD in 18.2 and Discovery Live, which we're really, as you can tell, we're really excited about. Love the enthusiasm and the feedback we're getting from the podcast. Do remember that PADT is here to help with training, mentoring. We sell the computers you can run this stuff on. And yes, we do figure out what the best cards are to run on those cube computers. We also do, of course, simulation as a service, as well as product development and 3D printing. So do reach out. Help us justify. We like doing this podcast, but the more business you send us, the more we can do it. So please think about that. And we'll just go ahead and go around the table and go say goodbye. This is the first time for Tom and Jim. So what we do is we say goodbye, and I'm looking for some wisdom, a joke, a piece of advice, maybe answers related or not. We just don't want to talk about religion or politics.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Eric. This time I'll give a joke. So this is one my kids told me last night. Why did the banana have to go to the doctor?
I have no idea. Why did the banana have to go to the doctor?
Because it wasn't peeling well. Tom, you're up.
Tom, that's hard to follow.
I don't know if I can follow that one. My kids aren't of the age to have those kind of jokes. No, I'd just say this has been a real experience doing this and looking forward to doing it in the future. And we're always here to help if anybody's got any problems, needs help with CFD. This is what we love doing. So
Tom likes really, really hard problems that make his head. Yeah. I don't understand why my model doesn't converge.
Yeah.
Those are his favorite.
Well, I'll lean back in my rocking chair to more of a comment of I think we're experiencing a time in this industry that is really exciting. There's things changing daily. With the advent of rapid manufacturing and 3D printing of metals and so forth, you know, the whole traditional mindset of how products are developed and made is just changing. And, you know, we're not too far away from, you could pretty much build anything you want with your own equipment. You don't have to rely on anybody else. And that really, you know, fits well with where Discovery is going, in that, you know, you used to be so constrained by so many different features of the design that the 3D printing and so forth, that's opened up a ball game of doing whatever you want. And Discovery is a great addition to that that focus. So.
Agreed. I was trying to think of something to say other than hyping more Discovery, but I think I'm going to hype Discovery more because it deserves to be hyped. Yeah. So you know, one of the groups that reports to me is the product development group, and sometimes we're facing a tough problem. The guys will say to me, I just need to go out in the lab and play with it, because they just can't do that in traditional simulation tools. Yeah. And that playing, that exercising the geometry and seeing what happens, and kind of that, it's almost like a, you know, an algorithm where you just kind of push and see what happens, and your brain figures it out. We can do that now on the computer with Discovery. Yeah. That same kind of tinkering and fiddling is now available with Discovery Live. So I'm really excited about it, and I can't wait to use it more. So that's our parting shot. Thanks for listening. Please let your coworkers and friends know. We want to get more listeners, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot. Thank you for joining us on this fourth episode of the All Things ANSYS podcast. We had a lot of fun sharing our enthusiasm for the ANSYS Discovery Live product and can't wait to talk about it in future episodes. As a reminder, this podcast is not affiliated in any way with ANSYS Inc., and the opinions expressed are those of the people on the show only. For more information, visit www.padtinc.com/blog, and please share your thoughts and questions through an email to podcast@padtinc.com. See you next time.